After mentioning that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, the last thing the Apostles' Creed says about Jesus is that he will return to judge the living and the dead. Today, Christians are often uncomfortable with the idea of judgment. We generally prefer to focus on forgiveness and mercy rather than on judgment, especially when we proclaim the gospel. How important is the doctrine of the last judgment?
Jesus talked about judgment quite a lot. We sometimes think of the Old Testament as a stern and angry God, the New Testament as a good and loving God, and Jesus always talking about goodness and love for one another. That's certainly true that he talked about goodness and love for one another, but he also, more than anyone else in the New Testament certainly, talked about God's judgment, that ultimately God would right every wrong, that he would separate the sheep from the goats and would send the goats, that is the wicked, into eternal judgment. So we know that a good God, a loving God, is also a just God who must punish sin.
This last judgment isn't only for Hitler or Stalin or other people that we view to be particularly evil. We all deserve that final judgment. And the Christian scriptures teach us that that judgment will come either when Christ comes again or also when we immediately die. I think there is a sort of judgment as well. That judgment will be based on whether we have confessed Jesus to be Savior and Lord, whether we have put our trust in Him to forgive us of our sins. Another thing I'd like to say is the judgment also has a function in the life of believers. Again and again we see in the scriptures that the judgment to come is used as an argument for why believers ought to persevere to the end. We see this in Revelation. Revelation is very strong on the last judgment, and the author says that this is a motivation for believers to endure and to persevere, knowing that the judgment is coming, knowing that those who have not followed Christ will face an eternity of punishment and even torment.
You know, the question of final judgment, hell, the wrath of God, those are not topics that we eagerly discuss often in the church. And part of the reason for that is it's just difficult for us to get our minds around that degree of fury and wrath associated with the God that we envision in our minds. And I think that's precisely the problem. I think the problem that people have with final judgment and condemnation of the wicked is actually a problem that they have an invalid view of who God is. The fact of the matter is that according to Scripture, it is within God's full right as the one who is completely other than we are, who has made us for the purpose of giving Him glory, that it is with His full right and full righteousness to condemn all who violate the covenant that He has made. And to say anything less than that is to not do justice to the God who has revealed Himself in Scripture as absolutely holy, perfect, pure, spotless. He is a God that demands perfect justice, perfect allegiance, perfect commitment. And when those made in His image have shaken their fists in His face, He would be unjust not to carry out a full wrath upon those who have violated His law, His covenant, and His character. The gospel is actually centered right there. None of us deserve anything less than that fury. We need to recognize that. It is the grace of God that is extended to some of us that He draws us to Himself. How does He do that? How does He become just and the justifier of the wicked in history, as we see Paul describe in Romans chapter 3, 21 and following? How does that happen? It happens because instead of God unleashing His fury on us, He has actually done so on His very own Son in our place. If you want to see a picture of the wrath of God, the place in which it comes to boldest view is none less than the cross itself. when Jesus himself cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why did he forsake him? Because of your sin and my sin. And he held his wrath against his son in our place that we might be received into his blessed company. So as we think about the question, why does God judge his enemies? The better question is, why does God receive me into his presence? I am worthy of his wrath, but instead, he has granted me mercy. He has granted me forgiveness because he has held his wrath against his son. I think about this when a very familiar text, oft-quoted, comes from 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't it stunning that he would use the term just there, that our forgiveness is actually grounded in God's justice instead of his mercy? Well, I think the reason that that is true is because for him to now hold his wrath against us would be to use what in common parlance in the legal field would be double jeopardy, that he's held our sin against Jesus and he's held it against us too. No, he's held our sin against Jesus Christ.